The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather she grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was about 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's try it again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why?
For he is good.
And his mercy endures how long?
Forever.
Which psalm?
107.
Good. It was one of the highlights of my week, was marching around this sanctuary with all the lights off, with glow-in-the-dark bracelets, waving them around, saying, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord," and they said, "For he is good," and we did this parade around. Our VBS week was remarkable. It was completely wonderful. We had expected only a handful, 4, maybe 6 kids. And so we changed our entire original plan, VBS as you know it, with stations and rooms and groups of kids. It was actually pretty disappointing at first to have planned so much, to have gathered so much material and people and intention and crafts and games and science and music, and to have to change gears at what seemed like a really last minute. It was our plan was interrupted. And I will tell you today that our plan was interrupted by the Holy Spirit. Instead of the VBS that we had intended, we got something better. Now, we didn't get to do the one we had intended, and so there is no way to compare what might have been to what actually was. So maybe it wasn't better, I don't know. But it was marvelous. Something very holy happened here this week. Our evenings were mellower than they would have been had we done our original plan. Since the adults weren't running all of the stations that we always have going simultaneously, they had time to sit with the kids while the kids crafted and to play instruments with the kids while they did that and eat meals and not be in a hurry. Sarah asked me if we still needed volunteers for VBS since things had changed. Did we still need volunteers? And I told her we didn't really need so many tasks accomplished as we normally need, but what we needed was grown-ups who were interested in being with our kids. And so she came and she trailed behind them as they scampered from clue to clue to clue to clue during our scavenger hunt. And she said, "I learned things about this church I didn't even know they were there. And she sat with them as they did crafts, and she giggled with them as they cracked each other up at the tables. And holy relationships began to form. And we went to the movies together. More than 20 of us gathered there of all ages. We had a wiggly 3-year-old. We had elementary school kids and middle school kids and high school kids, a college kid, a just out of college kid, and some of us who were more than just out of college. We saw a very important movie about feelings, about what it's like when we cannot access joy. How important it is that we have all of our feelings and that even sadness sometimes brings about joy. I won't spoil the plot for you because I would love for you to see this movie. But there is a character in it that has experienced loss, a great loss. He's very sad. So joy, the feeling of joy, each of the characters is a feeling, right? So the feeling of joy bounces over to this person who's suffering and has experienced a loss. And she says, "Oh, it's okay. We're going to get through this. You just have to think on the bright side. Just think. As a matter of fact, you know what? Everything's going to be great." And the one who is suffering is not comforted at all. And so joy gives up. Then sadness, the person of sadness, slides over to sit by this one who is suffering and listens to the longing and sadness in his story. And she says things like, "It is very sad, isn't it?" And they share a long hug. And after the listening and the hug, the suffering one is well enough to continue on the journey. And joy bounces over to sadness and says, "How did you do that?" And sadness says, "I mostly just listened." It takes some of us a semester or two in seminary of pastoral care classes to learn that. Just be quiet. Stop bouncing around. Listen. It has a special name, of course. It's called Ministry of Presence. And Disney Pixar nailed it. They gave us a moment in this animated children's movie of the ministry of presence and the healing that it offers. So more than 20 of us watched that together. And the next evening, the kids that were gathered, or all of us that were gathered, we talked a little bit about it, about the sacrifices they saw people make in this movie, about how important all of our feelings are. And then we got in the van and we went and played putt-putt golf, during which I watched our older kids help our younger kids and our adult ones play with our kid ones and our kid ones cheer on the adults as they're playing putt-putt. And in the arcade, I had given them tokens and I saw them sharing tokens and the tickets that they earned with the tokens and the prizes and the candy that they got with the tickets. This extraordinary week was not our plan. It was an interruption in our plan. And it was packed with ministry and discipleship. Today we heard this story about Jesus being interrupted. He's been asked to go help Jairus' little girl, who is very sick. She's dying. And when Jesus is asked to help, he goes right away. That's the plan. Go to Jairus' daughter. But someone touched him, and an important thing happens. This interruption of the plan happens. Someone touched him. He wants to know who touched him, and his disciples are like, seriously, we're in a crowd. Everyone is touching you. How can you say, who touched me? He demands to know who touched him because he felt some power go out of him. He knew something was happening, and he paid attention to the interruption. He turned, and the interruption became his focus. And the woman who had been suffering, she needed him, so she became his focus. I suppose she had to muster up all sorts of courage to shoulder her way through the crowd who always called her unclean because of her condition. And she reached out to touch his robe, thinking no one would notice, actually believing no one even had to notice, not even Jesus. That just touching him, actually not touching him, touching his robe, actually not just touching his robe, touching the hem of his robe would be enough. She believed. But he did notice, and he wanted to know who it was, and she was scared. But knowing what had happened to her, she came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." The plan was to go to Jairus' house to heal the 12-year-old daughter of a leader of the synagogue, a pretty important mission. Jairus is kind of a big deal. A dying little girl is kind of a big deal. But a woman who's been sick for years, a woman who's been sick with the kind of sick that gets you labeled unclean and set apart and lonely and defeated, she's just not a big deal. She's the opposite of Jairus, actually. He's a man. His label is priest. He's a leader, not just a leader, but a leader in the synagogue. He belongs. He's a big deal. The woman doesn't even get a name in this story. She's just the woman who's hemorrhaging. She's not a big deal in the community. As a matter of fact, she's less than a big deal. She is an outcast. But Jesus stops. Because to Jesus, her pain is a big deal. Her outcastness is a big deal. Her courage to approach him is a big deal. And her faith is such a big deal that he says, that's what has healed you. Along the way, according to the normal plan, an interruption happens and a healing happens. Along the way, an expression of faith. Along the way, we have those opportunities too. Opportunities for healing, conversations about faith, opportunities for change and for courage. You know, Katie's not here today, but I met her at Walgreens. Sage and I were shopping for aspirin in the aspirin aisle. And Sage had a Lutheridge t-shirt on. It was a Wild Women t-shirt, and this stranger to us said, "Lutheridge?" And our plan for just popping into Walgreens and getting some aspirin and popping back out was interrupted. And there was a conversation in the aspirin aisle. And I gave her my card, and she's been worshiping with us now. It's an interruption. Along the way, VBS extraordinaire. Along the way, interruptions. Along the way, we are called to serve our neighbor. Along the way, we're called to listen to our young ones. And along the way, we're called to listen to our aging ones. Along the way, we are called to listen to those with whom we disagree. Along the way, with love. For this whole life of ours, this whole life of discipleship in Christ, it all happens along the way. So may we pay attention and turn our attention to the needs in front of us, even if they disrupt our intentional plan, and we will be ministers along the way. Amen.